మాస్టర్ నమస్కారం. టు హూస్ టెంపుల్ ది ఆర్చ్ ఈజ్ స్టార్ లిట్, ఇన్ హూస్ టెంపుల్ ది సన్ ఈజ్ ది ఇమేజ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, టు హూస్ టెంపుల్ ది మూన్ గోస్ ఎవ్రీ మంత్ and brings the message out every full moon, and whose message the moon sings as a word of 16 letters, his religion I belong to, his temple I visit, his name I utter, his glory I live in, to him I offer the lotus of my day, to him I offer the lotus of my night. Master Namaskaram, Master C V V Namaskaram. మేధామి fraternal greetings and good wishes to all the brothers and the sisters. Today I present yet another dimension in relation to the temple. As we attempt to build the personality into a temple, there would be many elements which we call rogue elements. They try to obstruct, they try to destroy, they try to digress, they try to distract our pure intention to transform our personality into a temple. There are always forces in nature which are constructive అండ్ విచ్ ఆర్ అదర్వైజ్ ఆల్సో. నేచర్ కంటైన్స్ ఇన్ ఇట్ వెరైటీస్ ఆఫ్ ఫోర్సెస్. యాజ్ మచ్ యాజ్ దేర్ ఆర్ బెనిఫిషియల్ ఫోర్సెస్, దేర్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో అదర్ ఫోర్సెస్ విచ్ వర్క్ కాంట్రరీ టు ది సెల్ఫ్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్. దే ఎమర్జ్ ఫ్రమ్ అస్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది డెఫిషియన్సీస్ వీ హ్యావ్ అండ్ ది వీక్నెసెస్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ విత్ అస్. అవర్ వీక్నెసెస్ వన్ బై వన్ దే గెట్ ఎక్స్పోజ్డ్ యాజ్ వీ స్టార్ట్ వర్కింగ్ విత్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్. As we start working with our personality, the undesirables, the weaknesses, the limitations which are hidden within us, they would get to surface. Just like when we boil the water, the impurities emerge. And through further boiling, they are expelled. So within each one of us, when we propose for a journey towards light, there are already settled elements of darkness which would like that we are not into the program of transforming our personalities into light. There are self impediments emerging from each one of us on the basis of our previous acts, previous thoughts and previous speeches. They do not let us know. Let us release. They do not let us to get release and to move forward. Therefore, there is a regular ritual suggested to each one of us every day morning to build a diamond temple around us with the help of light, so that there is no more entry of the rogue elements into us, either from the surroundings or from within. It's an age-old practice. Some of you are even familiar with it, because when we did diamantine prayers for the benefit of supporting the good policies of the governance, we worked with the diamantine prayers until 2014. From 2007 to 2014 we worked with it, and this can be individually carried out by each one of us, so that from within or from outside we are protected from being attacked by undesirable forces. When it happens, when this ritual is regularly done, we are so completely insulated that even while we are in a amidst a crisis, the crisis does not touch us. Even if we are in a kind of an accident, the accident has no impact on us. Even if there is a fire around, the fire does not touch you. In all crises, you are protected when this ritual is done regularly as you wake up in the morning. It's a all protective ritual conceived in the by the Vedic seers in the ancient most times, that we build around ourselves a double pyramid of light in which we stay secure. Therefore, nothing can touch us by way of untoward events, by way of mishappenings. Even if you are involved in an accident, you do not even get a scratch on your body. Such is the beauty. Even when you are involved in an accident, you do not get hurt. There may be an accident. You do not get hurt, be it on the road, be it in the train, or be it in the flight. It's a beauty by itself that you remain untouched by any element that attacks you. It's a beautiful Vedic ritual which I wish to present to you, which is done by all the knowers in the East. Every day in the morning, as part of morning prayers, as part of morning Sandhyavandana, the methodology is very simple, and you may kindly make note of it. Orient to the East. Stay oriented to the East, either in a standing posture or in a sitting posture. Look to the East, and visualize that a ray of light is passing from your heart center towards the East. Visualize that there is a ray of light from your heart center projecting towards the East. Then you bow down to the East. Bow down to the East and the angel of the East, and receive the light of the East into your heart center. First, you project through imagination a line of light towards the East. Then you bow down to the angel of the East, through which the light will come and join you at the heart center. Then you imagine that a beam of light is moving from you towards the south. Your right hand is your south. When you face the sun, face the east, your right hand projects towards the south. Imagine that a beam of light is emerging from your heart center and progressing towards the south. And then you bow down to the angel of the south. Angel of the south. As you bow down to the angel of the south, then the energies of the south will come and join you in the heart center. Come and join you in the heart center. If you are in a sitting posture, you may imagine that the light is proceeding from your heart to the south and it is joining you from the south. If you are in a standing posture, you can turn to the south. Again, turn to the south and say, I bow down to the angel of the south. And the energies from you go to south, and from the south, the angel blesses you with the energies which will come and join you in the heart. Similarly, you turn towards the west. If you are in a sitting posture, imagine that you are turning towards the west. And let your energies from the heart move towards the west. And you bow down to the angel of the west. Thereby receive the energies from the west. Likewise, you turn towards north. and again carry out the same practice, that the light from your heart moves towards the north, you bow down to the angel of the north and the energies of north come and join you. This is how on all four sides there is a interflow of light. Interflow from you to that direction and from that direction to you. Then you link up all the four directions. Four directions. Then there is a square around you. Towards the back. To from east to south. South to west. West to north. North to east. There is a field of light with beams made around. Like the symbol we have here. You are in the center of it. And it is around you. By way of four right angles. Then imagine that you are moving up vertically and bow down to the angel of that which is above. And then imagine that the energies from above are descending into you. Connect all the four east, west, north, south dimensions to the energies in the direction which is above. It is called the headlight. Headlight. When you connect like that, there is a pyramidal dome that happens up to your heart center. A pyramidal lighted dome that builds with your heart as the base. There is a pyramid built over you. Then imagine that your energies are moving towards down below. Down below. And connect all the four sides around you to the direction which is down below under your feet. Then you are forming another pyramid from your heart. There is a pyramid up there, there is a pyramid down there. So you are very much secure within this insulated double pyramid symbol. When this happens, you have a lighted shield around you. When you regularly do it during the sunrise hours with the help of the sun ray, you are building a kind of insulation around you by way of a dome up there, a dome down there, and in between you are there. It is a Vedic ritual by which you are protected. You are protected by the surroundings. You are also protected from within and outside. When you regularly practice this, you are at all times saved by this insulated state. This has to be a daily practice. It does not take more than 3 to 4 minutes. I bow down to the east and the angel thereof. I bow down to the south and the angel thereof. I bow down to the west and the angel thereof. I bow down to the north and the angel thereof. I bow down to the headlight of beauty above and the angel thereof. I bow down to the foundation of the temple below and the angel thereof. These are the six dimensions from which the six angels protect us. It is regularly done in the East by many people, not knowing its significance. దే చాంట్ ఇట్ ఇన్ సంస్క్రిట్ బట్ దే డు నాట్ నో ఇట్ సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్. నమ పూర్వాయై దిశే యాశ్చ దేవతాః ఏతస్యాం ప్రతివసంతి ఏతాభ్యస్య నమో నమః. లైక్ దట్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీ డైరెక్షన్ యు బో డౌన్ అండ్ యు ఆర్ కనెక్టెడ్ టు ఆల్ డైరెక్షన్స్ అరౌండ్ అస్ అండ్ దెన్ వీఆర్ వితిన్ ది షెల్ ఆఫ్ లైట్. దిస్ లైట్ ఈజ్ ఆఫ్ డైమండ్ నేచర్, వైట్ రే అండ్ ఈజ్ ఆఫ్ డైమండ్ నేచర్. సో యు ఆర్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ బై ఎ డైమండ్ ఆల్ అరౌండ్ యూ. దిస్ వుడ్ ఎనేబుల్ అస్ నాట్ టు ఫాల్ ఇన్ టు టెంప్టేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఔటర్ వరల్డ్. నాట్ టు ఫాల్ మీనింగ్ ది టెంపుల్ డజ్ నాట్ లెట్ యూ ఫాల్ ఇన్ టు ది ఔటర్ టెంప్టేషన్స్, నార్ ది ఔటర్ టెంప్టేషన్స్ కెన్ అప్రోచ్ యూ అండ్ అటాక్ యూ ఆర్ ఎఫెక్ట్ యూ. ఏదర్ వే యూ ఆర్ దస్ ఇన్సులేటెడ్ అండ్ దట్ ఇన్ దట్ ఇన్సులేటెడ్ స్టేట్ you can build your temple without impediments. Normally there will be so many impediments when we carry out spiritual practices. Normally there would be one impediment or the other, starting from ill health, starting from personal karma, varieties of problems keep emerging from us when we start with any practice relating to light. So they would not, while the karma emerges, while the problems emerge, your practice would not be affected. That's important. Not that you are, that you would be protected from your karma. Not that you are protected from your karma. Your karma will not come in the way of your practice. On one side the karma gets exhausted, on the other side we keep building the temple. Slowly the karma concludes, but the temple comes into an order and becomes a place of service to the surroundings. That's why when you have the will to build a temple in relation to your personality, this practice is very well suggested to all those who wish to build their personality into a temple, that they cognize the six dimensions around them, the six directions around them, and build a field of light around them, so that they are insulated within, by which their practices are not affected. Come what may, even if you are sick, you continue to do your practice. Even if you have a huge economic problem, it will not destroy your practice. Even if you have a domestic problem, it will not affect your practice. Anything may happen around you, your practice is not affected. And as your practice continues, the temple is formed. Once the temple is formed, the karma can no more touch you. And on the contrary, in the meanwhile, the karma is also exhausted or neutralized. That's how it works. Therefore, this practice may be picked up according to your inclination. Because normally when I get mails saying that I am not very regular with my prayers, I am not very regular with my practices. It's very common because karma affects us and our will is also very weak. Every small pretext will put us off from our practice. Any important worldly event will put us off from our practice. Isn't it? But when you get this kind of double pyramid of light, built around you, you feel first that you have to continue your, fulfill your practice of the day and later attend to the worldly duties. The worldly duties would wait if you give preference to your practice of light. There is a mantra called, let things wait. Let things wait. They wait. Let things wait is possible only for those who are working with light. Working with light. Until your work with light is over, the problem would not come near. After you finish your practice, then you would attend to the thing which is immediately necessary to be attended to. I'll give you a single one episode from the life of Shirdi Sai Baba. Shirdi Sai Baba. One day he has the habit of generally cooking food and serving those who come to his place. He was living in a mosque, in a dilapidated mosque. It's a mosque which is abandoned. There are only some half-finished walls, and no one does anything. It's abandoned. He took his residence in that, and from there he was doing his work. He has a fireplace in a corner where fire continuously happens. There is a fireplace where day and night fire burns over. Now it's about 120 years, sir. Let us say 100. Yes, now it is about 100 plus another, say 140 years it's burning over there. Continuously. The fireplace, day and night it keeps on. It's on flame, purifying the whole area. That's one dimension. He has another place where he cooks, and he never uses a handle to mix that which he cooks. In a huge vessel, when he makes some preparation, with his own hand, he was in a boiling water and cooking vegetables. He used to put his hand and mix it up and make out the dish to serve the people. He said, I'm not speaking about something which is BC. I'm speaking about a century ago it all happened. For about 60 years he lived like that, amidst people. So, for every festival occasion, he invites people from the village and say, I give you lunch. You can join me in the lunch. And he himself prepares the food and serves. So one day it so happened, when they were all taking food, the roof started coming down. The roof, which was very old roof, very rickety roof, it started giving way and is about to fall. The people who were taking food, they were all afraid that it may fall. He said, it won't fall, you complete your lunch. The roof will not fall, you can complete your lunch. So some of them who did not believe it, they ran away from the roof students. Few of them who believed in the word of the master, they stayed there, they took food and they have come out. After they have come out, he also came out and then said, now you may fall. And it has fallen. That's the beauty of this kind of work. That's the beauty of this kind of work. That's why if you do this practice regularly, నథింగ్ విల్ ఫాల్ ఆన్ యూ ఆర్ నో వేర్ యూ విల్ గెట్ హర్ట్ బై యువర్ ఫాల్ దట్స్ హౌ ఇట్ ఈస్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ దేర్ ఈస్ ఎన్ యాక్సిడెంట్ పాసిబుల్ యాక్సిడెంట్ యూ టుడ్ బి అవర్టెడ్ ఇఫ్ దేర్ ఈస్ ఎ లైక్లీ యాక్సిడెంట్ ఇట్ వుడ్ బి అవర్టెడ్ ఫర్ యూ దెర్ ఆర్ మెనీ సచ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ వెన్ యూ వర్క్ విత్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ మెథడాలజీ I can give many episodes which I have myself experienced. But it's improper to speak of me, therefore I do not say. Our brother Chino knows, and when I was coming from Posadas to Iguazu once on the highway, there was a somersault of our automobile. Oscar De Bridges was driving the car. From the highway, the car took to 3 to 4 turns and fell down in the land. Chino was ahead of us, and there are 2 other cars behind us. They thought he's gone. The master must have gone. We were 4 persons in the car. So all had one scratch or the other, or a sprain at the neck, a sprain at the knee, but there is not even a single scratch on the body. I came out and stood and waved my hands, saying, no one is dead. No one is dead in the car. You can come and take care of us. He is a witness to it. I had similar accident in India also, where all are hurt, but not even a scratch on it. Not only that, once when I was flying, Beto was there with us in India. Where is he? He is here. So he is fond of astrology, you know. So he knows my personal chart also very much. He said, on the day I was to fly to Hyderabad, the day before he said, do you know that now Pluto is on your ascendant? He said. You may not remember. Do you know that Pluto is on your ascendant? Pluto means the Lord of Death. Is on your ascendant. I said, let it be. So the next day I had to fly to Hyderabad. See, as the flight took off, one engine got blasted. Only single engine was. The pilot announced that we are in a crisis. We will try to somehow land in the sea if possible, or land on the runway. I will try to come back. If the other engine cannot hold, we will land on the sea. I will try. If not, I will bring you back to the runway. So there were passengers around. They were looking to me. I said, nothing will happen. We will be safely landed. We will not be even landed on the water, I told them. We will be safely landed. You kindly be quiet. And if you have some belief system with you, relate. So he slowly took us to the seaside, and he found still the engine is functioning. He took the risk of coming back to the airport, and he said, we will land with one engine. It is very likely that a tire may be burst, because it comes in a manner where the tire may not be able to take the load. In fact, the tire was burst. But still, the flight landed and on its landing the tire was burst and the aircraft came to a standstill and there were so many fire engines all around thinking that something can happen, fire can take place to the aeroplane and they have to protect the passengers, all fire engines around. But it came and it landed safely. So to who, see what I say is, when you have this kind of practices with you, you are always, there is something that protects you and nothing touches. Due to Saturn Mars conjunction in the 8th house, I am prone to many accidents. But touch wood till date, by the grace of those whom I follow, nothing has happened. So people are worried for nothing. Generally people are worried for nothing. Once when we were going by a train, the train was stranded on account of a cyclone. It was stranded near a place called Eluru. In the station only we were. But slowly the flood waters came in such a manner that the waters rose and started coming into the compartments. Normally railway train itself from the surface it is quite high. Into that waters were flowing. And along with that many reptiles and other things also started coming into the... So I had, you all know, those who come to India know there is one person by name Navanitham. He was with me. I told him if we stay in this compartment, the water will come everywhere. We cannot do anything, better we get out. To get out means you will be into neck deep of waters, flowing waters. Flood waters, flowing waters, up to neck deep. I told him, you pick up your luggage, I pick up my luggage, we'll keep it on our head, we'll get down the train, I will hold you by the hand, together we will walk, I will take to a safe destination. Even today when he remembers this event, he feels, how could it happen? But we could safely walk through the stream of muddy, dirty water with the suitcases on our head, reached the shore, took them to a friend's house where we stayed for 2 days and 2 nights until the flood is over. So why I give you this narration is only to show the strength of the light to protect you from the events that are likely to affect you. That's how it all depends upon, ultimately you should have complete conviction about the protection of light. Then many things can happen. When you don't have that conviction, and if you hold some kind of a doubt in you, the doubt is the hole through which everything can enter. If you have a little doubt, through the doubt everything enters into. A small hole is enough. A small hole. I have seen these practices being done by my father, by grandfather. Every morning it was a delight to see them to stand up with a namaskaram posture and then turn to east, bow down, turn to south, bow down, turn to west, bow down, turn to north, bow down, look up, no bowing down, bow up and look down, and they were even touching the earth and near the feet. They were able to bend. Touch up to the feet and say bow down to the angel of the down below. So when you do this, you are protecting the practice of light which you carry out with you. It will not be affected. And mostly all those who are initiated into the ritual of Upanayanam, they are given this ritual, but no one does it. You can ask Murali if he is doing it. You can ask Srikant if he is doing it. There are two or three other youngsters there. Akshay, Yashwant, Jayavant. I was there for their Upanayanam also. But ask them if they are doing it. In case we meet again, if I ask you, are you doing it? Silence will be the answer. We'll listen. So it is one beautiful practice that we have. It doesn't take more than you have to make 6 utterances in all. 6 utterances. It can be in English, it need not be in Sanskrit. It can be in Spanish. It can be in Portuguese. It can be in German. It can be in Telugu. It can be without language. It's not the language that is important. It is the thought. The thought. Just close your eyes, relate to the east, bow down to the east, and imagine light is entering from the east. Likewise, south, west, north, above, below. Done. Then you move out. Even in the worst of situations, you are not affected. That's the beauty of it. Is given as an important practice for those who intend to build a temple with him. The very ritual of Upanayanam is only to build the temple with him. To gain Dvijatva. Gaining Dvijatva means to be born again in light. So we are all born in darkness, into flesh and blood, isn't it? We are in a house of darkness. We have to build a house of light within, in which we can enter. When we are born again in light, we are called twice born. When we are born, we build a personality of light and start dwelling in it, we are called twice born. Isn't it? That is what is called in Sanskrit as dvija. Ja means to take birth. Dvi means twice. Twice born. Not all are dvijas. Not all are dvijas. Only who is born in light is called a dvija, meaning a Brahmin. No one is a Brahmin by birth. No one is a Brahmin by birth. One becomes a Brahmin when he is born again in light, so that he can see the Brahman in and around. The one who always sees the Brahman in and around and moves in the field of light, to him all around is light, within himself it is light. Such one is called a twice born one. That's why if even Master Ike said, may the light in me be the light before me, it means he sees, he experiences that light within, he experiences that light around. Therefore he could say that when we seek, sought an invocation from him. So anyway, no more detail is needed for this. You can, if according to your inclination, you can work on that. Then another dimension relating to the temple is to build the personality into a very vibrant temple, we need to take to the rhythms of new moon and full moon. We should not miss new moon and full moon. It's very important. If you make note, when the full moon is, when the new moon is, you try to arrange your activity in such a manner that you are fairly less occupied around these days. Less occupied. It's all our arrangement of life. Whatever is possible, we try to see that it is either preponed or postponed, and you keep yourself fairly free for the full moon day or for the new moon day. If you do not, normally events pile up for those days. The world always works the contrary. A relative will announce that I will come to you on such a date, only to disturb you. Isn't it? Relatives, friends, associations, they all announce their arrival either on dates of around new moon or full moon. So when you know this, you can say, can it be later? We can ask them. It is better to say, can it be later, not earlier. Can it happen a bit later so that you are through your attunement to full moon and attunement to new moon? Mostly, most important events, meetings, they would be fixed around new moon and full moon. The world works the other way. So we have to make sure that we make adjustments to see that we are generally available to attune to the energies of full moon and new moon. As far as it is within our hands, whatever is not in our hands, nothing can be done. We hold in us the awareness that this is a full moon time or this is a new moon time. 6 hours before full moon, 6 hours after full moon are very important times. Likewise, 6 hours before new moon, 6 hours after new moon are equally important times. 6 hours before full moon and 6 hours after full moon, the master gives his presence to the one who is orienting to a particular master of wisdom. Masters of wisdom have given a pledge. They have given a pledge that around full moon times, 6 hours before or 6 hours after, they have decided to give presence to those who are oriented to light. It is their commitment. So they are available around those of us. So we should also make ourselves available by attuning to the full moon of us to gain the presence of the master as well. To gain the presence of full moon, the prerequisite is that you also work with the new moon. People all over the world, the groups know to relate to full moon, but their relating to full moon is not very fruitful unless they have done the preliminary step of relating to new moon. The beauty of the new moon is it thins down the desire body. The beauty of the new moon is that it thins down the desire body. It makes it thinner and thinner and thinner. Kama sarira. Desire body means kama sarira. If you regularly meditate with new moons, from within you don't have so much desire. That I want, this I want, that anything that we see, we want it. Isn't it? If you go to a mall, she sees so many things, and whatever is not earlier planned was also bought along with what was planned. Isn't it? You go for one thing, you not only buy that, but you also buy something else for nothing. You haven't planned to buy that. Only by seeing it, the desire comes to buy it. Isn't it? That's why you go for one thing and you come back with 10 things. And it is very common with the ladies normally. And the man waits outside. The man will not accompany the lady into a mall, you know, because he is afraid of his wallet. When I say man and woman, you think man and woman, you are man and woman. I never speak like that. Already women are offended when I say this, isn't it? The woman is that person who steps into a mall and comes back with unplanned articles. He is a woman, he or she. Whether it is man whether it is man or whether it is woman, who is man and who is woman, who is drawn by the world is woman. It's not by the form you decide who is man and who is woman. It is by the nature. It is by the nature. There are many men who go to mall and buy more than their ladies, isn't it? There are husbands who buy more than their ladies. There are ladies who buy more than their husbands. Whoever is with more, in India we have a mall called More. The mall's name itself is More. So whoever comes out with more material than what is planned, he or she is a woman. That means drawn by the world. So that's why our houses are filled with so many articles. We keep on buying, and then the houses are filled. The wardrobes are filled with clothing. The shoe stand is filled with varieties of chappals, shoes. Everywhere it is all stuffed. If we open any wardrobe, things will fall out. They are all indicative of our desire. Just because, see, the problem with the desire body is when something is available, even if you don't need it, that's why a buffet is dangerous. When you have a morning buffet breakfast, do you have such a variety of bread daily at home? Do you have such a variety of cake daily at home? Because you don't have such a variety at home, you remain simple. But once they are all available, do you still continue to be simple? Even when there is abundance, if you continue to be relating to essentials, then you don't have a desire body. You don't have an abnormal desire body. See, desire body is needed. We don't kill it. The Vedic seers never say kill desire. This killing business comes from ignorance, meaning when you have excessive rajas in you, hyperactivity in you, you feel killing, everything kills. The desire body is also divine. It enables you to desire that which is needed for you. The Lord is also Lord of desire. Kameshwara, Kameshwari, that's all. But you should know how, what to desire, what not to desire. And when you desire, how much to desire. These are the dimensions. యు కెనాట్ డిజైర్ ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ డిజైరింగ్ అండ్ యూ కెనాట్ సే ఐ డోంట్ డిజైర్. బుద్ధాస్ టీచింగ్ ఈజ్ వెరీ రాంగ్లీ రికార్డెడ్ ఇన్ ది బుక్స్ దట్ బుద్ధా సెడ్ కిల్ అవుట్ డిజైర్. హీ నెవర్ సెడ్ ఇట్. నో మ్యాన్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ వుడ్ ఎవర్ సే కిల్ దిస్ కిల్ దట్. నో కిల్లింగ్. అండ్ ఇది వెరీ డాక్టర్ ఈజ్ అహింస. హౌ కెన్ హీ సే కిల్ అవుట్ సంథింగ్? ఇట్ వెరీ డాక్టర్ ఈజ్ అహింస మీనింగ్ హార్మ్లెస్నెస్. యూ కాంట్ హార్మ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ హార్మ్లెస్నెస్. కెన్ యూ? యు ఆర్ నాట్ హార్మింగ్ అదర్స్ ఈజ్ వన్ థింగ్, యు ఆర్ నాట్ హార్మింగ్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈజ్ ఈక్వల్లీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. సో హీ నెవర్ సెడ్ కిల్ అవుట్ డిజ్ హెల్ ఇట్స్ ఆల్ ది ఫాలోవర్స్ ది ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీ మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ విజ్డమ్ ఈజ్ దేర్ ఫాలోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ దే. దే మిస్కోట్ హిమ్. దే మిస్కోట్ హిమ్. He says something, they say something else. Finish. Over. They are helpless because they cannot come back and say, no, I did not say like that. So therefore, coming to the point of desire body, the desire body should be kept at its minimum. Minimum. Excessive desires have to be burnt. Otherwise, your energy is sucked by the desire body. When desire body is drawing all your energy, you become devitalized. Devitalized. Because desire body is like a cloud on the vital body. It's like a vampire on the vital body. It is like a parasite on the vital body. If you go to the forest here, Mukukuya, Mukoko, Mukoko or Makuku? What say, no? Is it Mukoko or Makuku? Huh? Makuko. Oh, it is neither of them. If you go to Makuko, they show you how there are so many parasites that live upon huge trees. They keep on living on the trees. They suck the energy from the trees. Just like in the story of elephant and the crocodile, the desire body sucks your energies. Therefore, your vital body weakens. If the desire body is brought to its right proportion, your vital body stands the chance of building the body of light. It is the vital body which gets weakened by desire. It is the vital body which helps you to build the body of light. See? That's why Master CVV says, I will treat your prana first and later teach yoga. Prana treat, yoga teach is one of his it's a statement which he loves most. First I will treat your prana so that it remains vital, it is active, it is functional, you will not be dysfunctional. And with a good vital body, I build your body of light. So, when it comes to new moon, the practices of new moon help us to thin down the desire body or kama sarira. That is the importance of meditations around the new moon. Then it can be followed up by the practices of full moon. The practices of full moon would enable building the body of light. That's the purpose of full moon meditation is only to ensure that you experience the light within the body, that you are in the lighted field within the body. ది పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ న్యూ మూన్ మెడిటేషన్ ఈజ్ టు రిడ్యూస్ యువర్ ది ఎవర్ బల్జింగ్ డిజైర్ బాడీ. ది డిజైర్ బాడీ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ రెడీ టు బల్జ్ లైక్ ఎ బెలూన్. It always, when it goes to the mall, it tries to jump out into every window. Shall we buy this? Shall we buy that? So therefore, the importance of new moon and full moon should be known, number one. The importance of new moon is to reduce the kama sarira, desire body, which would enable building up a body of light during the arc of the increasing phase of moon. So in the decreasing phase of moon, you work with the new moon meditation, by which the kama sarira is thinned down like a so thin to be even transparent. Then thereafter, after the new moon, for the next 16 phases, you build the body of light. That's what is given as a message of 16 letters. Message of 16 letters. It is the sun ray via moon comes to us to build the body of light. So when you do that, on one side you are in a double program. On one side you are reducing your desire body, on the other side you are creating possibilities for improving the body of light in you with the help of prana. Therefore, for temple building, the cycles of new moon and cycles of full moon are very important. Cycles of new moon enable us to turn inward and turn to be subjective. Cycles of new moon would enable us to turn outward to build the light within. We go within and we build the light from within. That's why full moon and new moon orientations become very important for purposes of carrying out the practice of building the temple, building the personality as a temple. It's all a very methodic practice. It is not just by some mysticism or miracle the temple gets built. We only always see things in a like in a split second, he became like this. There is a hard work. In the night hours, the disciple turns subjective and starts building the temple. In the day hours, he works outside. In either way, he is working for the temple. So when you have this kind of new moon, full moon, new moon, full moon, how many you have in a year? 12 new moons, 12 full moons. That's how 24 comes to be. A year contains 24 lunations, it is called. Meaning, a full moon and new moon alternatingly happen. Full moon and new moon alternatingly happen. So full moon, new moon alternatingly arranged for 24 in 24 number. That is what is called the floor of the temple. The floor of the temple, unless you prepare the ground, how can you build a temple? In all good temples, there would be a measure of 24 squares. One a black square, another is a white square. Meaning new moon and full moon. In ancient houses also, when people knew, they were building the house with a floor with black tile, white tile, black tile, white tile. And they mostly had rectangular rooms but not square rooms. Rectangular rooms, not a square room. A rectangular room brings in more energies than a square room. The rectangular has depth in it. A square doesn't have a, if you lay in an east-west direction, a rectangle is built with the proportion of 2:3. Like a brick. 2:3. 2 units of width and 3 units of length. Or 4 units of width, 6 units of length. 24 squares can be achieved with 4 units of width and 6 units of length. That's how 24. When you find a floor with 24 squares in it, you should know that it is an ear. It is an ear arranged in a rectangle. That is the measure of a temple actually. Whoever knows temple building, be it a church, be it a temple, the width would be there. The length will be there. And the length is more than the width. And if you wish that it is in tune with nature, the width should have 4 units, the length should have 6 units. Only then it is in tune with the solar ear. This is simply solar temple. Isn't it? We are the souls. As soul, we are the image of God. Our temple is this, should be in tune with the solar ear. That is why we have a rectangular floor called the ear. So when we know, we generally know the ear, but we do not know the detail of the ear. The ear has a great detail in it. It's a special science by itself to know the detail of the ear. The ear can be divided in different numbers, and you get different dimensions of the energies of the ear. So when you prepare it is like preparing the floor for the temple. When you follow the new moon and full moon cycles, if you don't follow the cycles of new moon and the cycles of full moon, you have not even done the preparation ground. The ground preparation is there. There has to be a ground prepared for building the temple. That ground is basically adapting to full moon and new moon. If you go to any Masonic temple, you can see these square, 24 squares. But seldom a Mason knows what is its significance. That the black square represents full moon, new moon, and the white square represents full moon is not known. Some crazy activity we keep doing, not knowing. In all religious practices, people crazily follow without knowing what it is. That's where we have the examples of the bus and the passengers. That's a classical example. The bus and the passengers. Remember that? Not knowing what it is, we keep on doing things like that. Not knowing how to do, if you do things, nothing will happen. Not knowing. If we are all asked to cook, we may get ready to cook, but no one will eat it, isn't it? దే కెన్ కుక్. సీ వెన్ యూ డూ నాట్ నో హౌ టు కుక్ అండ్ యూ కుక్, హూ విల్ ఈట్ ఇట్? యూ ఆల్సో కెనాట్ ఈట్. సో యూ షుడ్ నో కుకింగ్ బిఫోర్ యూ కుక్. లైక్ వైజ్ బిఫోర్ యూ డూ ఎనీ ప్రాక్టీస్ యూ నో ది హవ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్. ది హవ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్, టు నో హవ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ నో హౌ, ఇజంట్ ఇట్? నో హౌ. సో ది నో హౌ టెల్స్ అస్ ది ఫండమెంటల్ ఫర్ టెంపుల్ బిల్డింగ్ ఈజ్ ఇంప్లిసిట్లీ ఫాలోయింగ్ ది న్యూ మూన్ సైకిల్స్ అండ్ ది ఫుల్ మూన్. So in this class, I am introducing to you the importance of the cycles of new moon and cycles of full moon, so that we prepare the ground. In the afternoon, we will have some more relating how to use these 24 lunations to build the temple, some more dimensions. We shall have narrated or described in the afternoon. I am closing exactly at 11 o'clock because our group members have fixed me to with an interview for a grand work which they are planning. So thank you one and all, and we meet again. Namaskar.